السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نكن نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائدين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام and most respected brothers, we have been discussing this ayat of the Quran Sharif. And it so happens that in this month of Ramadan, it fits in perfectly with the message of Ramadan. We have already discussed the first part, that those who will be in Jannat, just by way of explanation, those people who will be in Jannat will be questioning the people in Jahannam, that what is it that caused you to go to the fire of hell? So besides the many things that lead a person to the fire of hell, these people will say that we were not of those that used to make salah. Salah was not in our lives. In other words, the head was not in our bodies. Salah, which is the head of iman, it was not in our bodies. So which means that there was no life. And when there is no life, then no importance is given to that real, to that corpse. The only thing that you do with the corpse is you go and bury it, dig a hole and bury it. But we, if we are sensible, we are not talking of those who embalm, we are talking about the sensible people, that they are not going to keep those bodies in their homes or in museums just for the tourists to get some kind of attraction. The person will bury the body. And if people do not believe in Islam, then they will burn the body. But that is what happens to a dead body. And unfortunately, this is the situation where the majority of the ummah, we are not talking about exceptions, we are talking about the majority. The majority of the ummah, as far as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sight is concerned, there is no head there. Because the position of salat in iman is like the position of head in the human body. So if there's no salat, the person is spiritually dead. And if the person is spiritually dead, then what else do you do with the spiritually dead bodies? Then anybody will trample over those bodies. Anybody will slice and cut and chip and chop, and they're not going to be arrested for murder. Because there's no life. But then again, we will be going back to salat, which inshallah we will discuss again. Then we are talking about charities. They say that we should not feed the indigent ones. That means there was no charity in our lives. In fact, they used to say that if Allah Ta'ala is the one who is the provider of rizq and sustenance, then why are you asking us to contribute? In Surah Yasin, you have heard that they used to say, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. When they are told that spend out of that which Allah Ta'ala has given to you. So those who disbelieve, they tell to the believers, should we feed those whom if Allah Ta'ala had willed, he would have fed himself? This was the fault of their intelligence. Outwardly they were very intelligent, but they could not understand that why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not go and give it to them directly. Why did he have to tell the rich or those people who had more than their means, that they should spend on the poor and on the needy. Whereas that is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He wants to give rewards to those people who are now going to spend on the poor and the needy. There are situations which are created in the world. There are people who are poverty stricken, who are destitute, who are in need of food, of shelter, clothing, water, electricity. So now those who are going to spend on them, Allah Ta'ala wants to reward them. He sends the rizq of the poor, the needy, the old, the feeble, to those who are healthy, to those who are rich. And then he makes it a responsibility and duty upon those people that now you must take care of these people. In that way Allah Ta'ala increases the sustenance of the givers. Hazrat Saad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother passed away. What is the best sadaqah that I can give? My mother passed away, so what is the best sadaqah that I can give that will benefit my mother? So Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to have a well dug up somewhere. We know that in Medina Sharif, at that time, how much need there was for water. So he said, the best sadaqah is that you have a well dug up. Now all those people that will drink from that well, whether animals will drink, human beings will drink, birds will drink, whatever will drink, they will get the reward. Your mother will keep getting that reward. It will be recurring reward. It reminds me of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak Rahmatullah Alayhi, that great muhaddis. On one occasion he was sitting and giving his majlis, he was having his dars of hadith. When a person came and complained that for 7 years he has had a problem with his knees, there has been some kind of wound that was not healing. He asked him to make dua. So he said, yes, I will make dua. And he made dua for him. But he said, you must go and have a well dug up somewhere. And I have yaqeen and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that as soon as the water comes into that well, because you are going to dig, you are going to bore, as soon as the water appears in that well, Allah Ta'ala will cure you. So he went and he had a well dug. And as Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak Rahmatullah Ali, that great muhaddis, had stated, the moment the water came into the well, this person's wound healed. Again, it brings to mind that hadith of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, حَسِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ, fortify your wealth by the giving of zakat. We say fortify your wealth by taking out insurance policies. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, Hassinu amwalakum bi zakah, that fortify your wealth, protect your wealth, guard your wealth, put a block around your wealth, secure your wealth by what? By the giving of your zakat. Therefore, the majority of the losses which take place in a person's property, in a person's wealth, the major cause of that is zakat is not given properly. Haphazard calculation of zakat, or just giving it to anybody that just comes with a book and says that I'm a collector of zakat, whether the person is genuine or bogus, but the person does not either calculate the zakat properly or just gives it in a haphazard way, or does not give at all. I can't help but mention again this incident because it was a very shocking incident. There was a person, and those who were with me in Hajj in that year, they will verify and testify to what I am saying, that there was this person, and we were in a room wherein there were many people. And this person who was making Hajj, of course, first he had a lot of complaints about a lot of things. And he asked me one question. He said, Maulana, how many times is Hajj farz in a person's life? I said, once. He said, well, this is first and last. I'm not coming back to this place. So that was a shocker in itself. But if that was not enough, after that he says, Maulana, you'll expect us to pay zakat. We pay income tax. Those days was GST. He said, we pay GST. We pay rates and tax. We pay motor car tax. We pay this tax and that tax. and another one more tax you want us to pay, and that is zakat. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. This is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that the time will come when the payment of zakat will be considered like the payment of a fine. How the person pays a fine and finds it very difficult. In the same way, this payment of zakat, the person will not consider it as an ibadat, which will be a protection and a safeguard for his wealth, and which will be also a cause of the increase in his wealth. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Hassinu ammalakum bis zakah. Fortify your wealth, protect and safeguard it. Build a fortress around it. By what? By the proper giving of your zakat. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the loss that takes place on the sea or on land, the major cause of that is the non-payment of zakat. The cause of that is the non-payment of zakat, means the major cause. There could be other causes. Sometimes it is just a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He takes away a little and He tests you for sabr and patience. And Allah ta'ala wants to give you plentiful in return. Or He removes a little bit of bala and a little bit of problem and a little bit of difficulty that was coming. The difficulty and the calamity was coming on the person's body or on the bodies of his family. So Allah ta'ala caused a little bit of loss in his wealth. The person exercised a little bit of patience over that, and Allah ta'ala will give him something better in return. But here Allah ta'ala protected the lives of the people. But we are always educated and we constantly listen, and especially when we sit amongst those people who are soaked in this riba economy of ours, in the interest economy of ours, and in this gambling economy and society of ours. Those who are soaked in it, the only thing they are told is insure, insure and insure. Insure your life, insure yourself against death, insure your funeral, insure everything. One person came to me and he said that I am selling insurance, and you know that one day you have to die and everything must be taken care of, and you must not cause your family to go through suffering. They may not have the funds at that time to undertake your burial. I said, no, one thing I know, that they will never leave my corpse. They'll dig some hole and bury me, even though it may be in my own clothes, but they will never leave me outside anywhere. The society will bury me. So I don't require your insurance. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says. Again, I'm not talking about maslas and fatwas. There are fatwas which are given. Those muftis who have given those fatwas, looking at the conditions of the society, that how weak our iman is, that sometimes if a person does not insure certain things, then if there is a loss, the first thing that he will do is lose his iman. So at that time they say, consider is at haram, but insure it. So I am not talking about fatwas here, but I am talking about what Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And should we not now try and get that kind of iman into our hearts, that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said is the truth and nothing but the truth. So if he is saying that protect and guard your wealth by the giving of zakat, so then we should make sure that we calculate our zakat properly and we guard our wealth by means of the giving of zakat. And then if some calamity comes, some disaster comes, there is some loss in the wealth, then we consider it as the removal of some bala and calamity, or that Allah Ta'ala is testing us and is going to give us something better in return. I have mentioned, I think, in one of my majlises and talks, that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah. They left behind their homes, they left behind their gold and silver if they had anything, they left behind their properties, and some of them had to even leave behind their wives and children, and they had to make hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah. Some of their wives and children joined them later, and some of them were unable to even join them. So now that was not an azab from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was not that they didn't give zakat or something of that nature. That was the test of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon them. And then Allah ta'ala gave them kingdoms. Allah ta'ala gave them empires. The Roman Empire and the Persian Empire fell at their feet within a few years after that. And then there was so much of gold and silver that poured into Madinah Tayyibah that it is stated that in the masjid, in the one corner, it used to be like a heap. The Sahaba Ikram used to come, Allahu Akbar, make the namaz. They were not even interested in looking at it, and they used to walk out. That much Allah Ta'ala gave it at their feet after that. So the protection here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying, is that, حَسِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ. If we have to just talk on that again, it's another subject. وَدَعُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that treat your sick people with sadaqah. This is what I was talking about in that instance of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Rahmatullah Ali, where he asked that person to dig a well, and he said, Allah Ta'ala will cure you of that sickness, of that wound, or whatever it was that you were suffering from, by the means of that sadaqah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that your sick people, treat them with sadaqah. Now we will say this doesn't make sense to us. Indeed, lots of things don't make sense to us. Many, many things don't make sense to us. But to those who have the knowledge, it makes a lot of sense to them. Like to me, if a person tells me, if I did not know what the fax machine was all about, that when you feed a paper here, it will come out 10,000 miles away on somebody's fax machine, and your paper will still remain here. Now if he has to tell me that your paper has already reached on the other side, your letter is there already, the document is there. So I will tell him, but I didn't see my paper flying from here in the air and reaching the other side. How did it get there? To a person who does not understand the technology of the fax machine, a simple little thing for us these days. But if he does not understand the technology, he will say, but my paper which I fed into this fax machine, it is still here, the document is here. I didn't see it flying anywhere, how did it reach the other side? But the person who knows the technology, then he will explain that how it reached. So if we accept a lot of things on the authority of people who are experts in that particular technology, then can't we accept Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam's information that he has given to us? The technology that he had, nobody ever had that kind of technology. He could see the unseen hand of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, treat your patients with sadaqah. So does that now mean that close down all the hospitals and all the doctors who are in practice from tomorrow, close up your practices? Because Maulana has said that now must just give sadaqah and go to sleep. So we need a little bit of intelligence to understand these hadiths also. It does not mean that. It means that just as you are taking medication as a sabab and a means towards cure, in the same way, one of the sabab and means of cure from illness and sickness and diseases is the giving of sadaqah. And it is the experience of a large number of people that by the giving of sadaqah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cured them. There are so many hadiths, there are so many instances in the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even in our present times. There was one person, whenever he used to fall sick, and this was in recent times, when we were studying in India at that time, he was a very pious person. When he used to fall sick, he used to call the doctor. The Hakim Sahib used to come. He used to check his pulse. He used to give a prescription. He used to give a prescription. And after he has given the prescription, he says, now you must get this from the chemist and take this medication. So he said, Jazakallah, thank you very much. After the Hakim Sahib goes, he sends his son to the chemist to find out what will be the cost of that medication. So the son will come back and say, well, the medication will cost, say, 20 rupees, 50 rupees, or 100 rupees, whatever it will cost. So he will take out 100 rupees, give it to his son, and say, go and give it to some poor people that are in this locality. And wallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to give him cure from that illness. I'm taking a qasam in the masjid. But we haven't got that kind of iman. So therefore we say, take medication also. But this is a prescription of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so we must make use of this prescription too. And this is the ideal opportunity for making use of this prescription. Because we know that what is the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and in Palestine. This morning you and I, we went comfortably into our bathrooms and we had a shower. And we do not know how much of water we must have wasted in that shower that we took. We had electricity in our homes. We made our iftar in comfort. Even those who were listening to what kind of difficulties that they are experiencing, they were relaxed in their homes, many of them on the studio couches, and many of them with their legs stretched out on the beds were listening to the radio stations of what kind of difficulties and problems the Muslim Ummah is going through. But we had the comfort of our homes, and we changed our clothes, and we came to our masjids, and we got our bellies full from sehri time. In fact, there was so much went in from last night that even that might not have been digested, especially those who drink 2-3 bowls of haleem. Yes, there was one Hakim Sahab who came here to South Africa. He was asked by one patient when he checked him up and he prescribed something. So he said, "Hakim Sahab, when must I take this medication? Before meals or after meals?" He said, "South Africa walo ke liye koi pareshani nahi. Khane se pehle le lo, khane se baad mein le lo. Isliye ki har waqt unke pet mein khana hota hai." There's no problem for the South Africans. You can take it before meals, after meals, because always there is food in your stomach. So at this time, when we know that what type of difficulties they are undergoing, what kind of trial, people, little children, old people, feeble people, thousands of or millions of them who have become refugees with no tents, many of them in the open air, freezing winter cold. At such a time, these collections and donations which are made, we must consider this as one of those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that what are the rewards of this sadaqah. Yes, there will be many, many people that will be doing collection. There will be the genuine ones and the bogus ones. We had a phone call just yesterday from a person who is posing as some Maulana Imtiaz Khan and is collecting with a forged Jamiat letterhead in the Transvaal. So these type of people also we will get, bogus ones. But they must understand that if 1 cent of that haram goes into their bellies, it will never ever bring them any kind of peace and happiness in their lives. And especially when it is donation money. An individual, if you have harmed, you can go back to that individual and say that, "I'm sorry, make me maaf, there's the money that I took from you." But when the person has stolen public money, where is he going to go and look for all those people that he has stolen the money from? So there will be the bogus ones too, but I'm talking about the genuine collectors. There are so many people, so many organizations who are genuine, and they are collecting and they are sending their monies there, and it is being used in the correct places. So at that time we should not feel that what is this all the time we have to go on donating and giving and giving. The more we are going to give, the more Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to return. Let me just complete this hadith, because there's so much that I wanted to speak on, and there's so much that's flowing in my head at this moment, but time is limited, so therefore let me just complete this hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says, "Da'um wardaakum bis sadaqa wastaqbalu amwaj al bala'i bid du'a'i wat tadarru." And face the waves, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, face the waves of calamities with what? With du'as and with humility. With humility, with humble supplications. Pour your heart out before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In this month of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy knows no bounds and has no limits. We must consider it our weakness that we cannot seem to draw from that mercy. So he says that face the amwaj al bala, the waves of bala, by your du'as. Again, at this time, those who are giving sadaqah, who are giving charities, who are donating. But those who cannot do that, and I don't say that, in fact I say that every person can give something. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of 1 million from everybody. 1 rand every person can give. But at least, he says, face, make muqabla, make istiqbal of the waves of bala with dua and tadarru. It is a very powerful weapon that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. But don't be hasty that we make dua now and within 1 second we want to see the result of our dua. We do not know when Allah Ta'ala will show us or give us the fruits of that dua, but we must have that yaqeen that the dua is accepted the moment you make it. As long as our bellies are not filled with haram and we are not nurturing ourselves and our families on haram, then Allah Ta'ala accepts those duas. So there is another prescription that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given to us. So there are lots of calamities, disasters and everything that's striking. And we do not know when it will strike, where it will strike and in which form it will strike. It does not mean that only if there's bombardment then that is a calamity that can come. So South Africa at present has got no bombardment, so we are safe. The earth can shake, the winds can blow, the waters of the river and the waters of the ocean can cause havoc. And in so many other ways the balas can come. So we should make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He must protect us from all those balas and calamities, and make a lot of dua to Allah ta'ala to remove the difficulties, the problems, the hardships, the trials, the tribulations that the beloved ummah of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is experiencing. What must be crossing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mind when he is informed that that ummah of yours is making a mazak and a mockery of your sunnats? They are shaving the beards, sitting on those chairs for the cameras of the world to see, to click and then project to the world that these are the Muslims who have got absolutely no concern for the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are making a mockery of the Islam and deen, that they are expressing great happiness that now we can go back to the cinemas, now we can go back to the theatres, now we can watch those Hollywood and Bollywood movies. Is that a Muslim? And in the month of Ramadan, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.